the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Social, Episode 5. It's hashtag Infocom 12, recorded May 14th, 2012.
Welcome to another episode of AV Social, where we bring together some of the best minds in the industry to talk about best practices in social media. Today, I have with me my, I'm going to call him infamous today, co-host George Tucker.
I like it.
a little bit of a naughty connotation there. I have George Tucker with us today, and we're going to be talking Infocom today, George, along with our panelists. We have Betsy Jeffy from Infocom. Hello, Betsy.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. We also have Dawn Mead. By now, everyone listening to this podcast should be aware who Dawn is. But in case you don't know, Dawn is a blogger extraordinaire. She also happens to be the marketing coordinator for NetAV out of Maryland. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, everybody.
Then we also have Matt Scott of Omega Audio Video. Hello, Mr. Scott.
Hello, gentlemen and ladies. How are we doing today?
We're all wonderful, Matt. And then we have NC from Rave Pubs. How are you doing, NC?
Pretty good. It's good to be here. It's good to be back.
Thanks for being with us again. So, George, for me personally, Infocom and social media have a nice little place in my mind and my memory, because it also happens to be the first place where you and I met, IRL, as the kids call it these days, in real life. Last year, we had the chance to meet at Infocom in Orlando, you and I, and probably a dozen or so other folks that really kind of got to know each other, Matt included in that, I should mention, got together. We started talking, about a week or two before the show, actually it's probably a month or so before the show, and decided, hey, we all really need to get up and you know, meet each other face to face. And I think that was a really cool experience in that, you know, we have built these relationships through social media, specifically Twitter, I think. And then we had a nice dinner together, and later than that went into a bigger event that was kind of for some social media gurus. So I don't know. It might just be a blimp on the George Tucker history line, but for Scott Moody, that was a big event.
Wow. Wow, isn't it romantic? That's what I'm feeling here.
But
you for the love, George.
You were wearing dress shoes. No, it was boots. Oh, okay.
But anyway, I really think the Infocom community has embraced social media a lot quicker than some of the residential folks. And when I say that, I mean that on the custom installation side. So, I wanted to have a show, George, where we could talk about Infocom and, you know, talk about some social media practices and things like that. So heading into this year's show, George, we'll kind of start it off, you and I. Are there any things you're seeing? Do you see a little bit more engagement happening out there?
Well, here's what I am seeing. I am seeing more people talk about it. I am seeing more people start to mention meetings and tweet ups and say, hey, you know, we're going to be there. Follow us here. You know, some of the standard stuff. I mean, the real chatter about that doesn't start to at least a couple of days before the exhibit floor, you know, opens up. Usually you get a lot of people starting to chatter about, you know, trucks are loaded, you know, and we're there building.
Right.
Along with the build photographs, which I always kind of like, actually, because you get sort of a, especially as an employee of one of those companies, you kind of say, hey, I can't go this year, but it's nice to see what they're doing and what it's going to look like this year and stuff like that. But I also like that and the live feeds that they're doing. I don't know how prevalent they are, but they were really cool to watch just the stuff go up. And you get excited about it. Even if you're going, you're like, hey, that's cool.
I believe so. And then, so at the center of all this is obviously the wonderful organization that's putting this all together, and that would be Infocom. Betsy, I know you guys are working hard, you know, really getting ready for the show, and a lot of that has to revolve around social media. Also, might have to do is go to your guys' website and the show website, and that's at infocomshow.org. And we can find all the great places where you are. Do you want to talk a little bit about everything you guys are doing in social media and what your approach is to the show?
Sure. Well, we really are looking at a really comprehensive approach to social media, both as an association and for the exposition itself. Right now, you can engage in our show blog. We have a lot of people who read about different features of the show there and different guest bloggers from some of the partner groups that we have. So that's right. A really exciting way to kind of engage through social media. We've also helped out our exhibitors by providing them with social media toolkits so that companies that don't normally engage in social media have a better feel for how they can interact leading up to the show and all through the show. We've got a very active Facebook and Twitter presence.
I'm gonna stop you for a second. Betsy, can we back up onto that toolkit and maybe elaborate a little bit? Like, what's all included in there? And how can people listening to this podcast access that? Is it limited to exhibitors?
It happens to be limited to exhibitors or also to instructors at the show, but certainly anybody who wants one could definitely drop me an email at bjaffe@infocom.org. That's like Betsy Jaffe. So happy to share it. But basically what we do is we provide people with just a little overall of what social media is about and give them some draft messages that they might consider sending out where they could fill in the blanks with their company specifics. This is not for the largest of companies who are very familiar with social media or perhaps have a full-time social media person dedicated to them. It's really more suited towards smaller exhibitors who might just be getting their feet wet in this area. We have a separate toolkit for instructors. These are people who are part of our Adjunct Academy who teach some of the hundreds of courses being offered at the show. And it just is to help them promote their classes in advance so that people know what's going to be discussed at the show. It's just kind of these simple little things that we've added along the way to try to create better engagement through social media.
I think that's an awesome idea because, as you alluded to, not everybody has the resources available to have a dedicated social media person at the show. So I think that's awesome. So I was sorry to interrupt you there, but I just thought that was an awesome tool that you guys offer. So you were talking about you guys have a very active Facebook page.
Yes, we actually have an event-specific Facebook page this year, and people who are interested in attending the show can even generate their own VIP code for the show from this Facebook page. We had a few challenges along the way because basically Facebook made some changes to the way they operate during the show cycle.
Get out of here.
Timeline. And so we had to make sure that our timeline would work with and our design would work with the new Facebook. But things seem to be going well. I know that we have about 314 page likes for our show page. And that's separate from the association's Facebook page, which is at more than 3,500. So we try to kind of cross-pollinate on those. Twitter continues to be really the main way that attendees and exhibitors engage in social media surrounding the show. We have at Infocom Show is a great way to follow us for show-related messages. At Infocom all year round for association messages. We've also have this thing called Infocom Connect. When you go to register for the show, you can click on Infocom Connect, and it will pull into your LinkedIn profile and some of your Facebook friends, and it will tell you who hasn't yet registered for the show. And you could send them a note inviting them, or you could send them a note asking them if they plan on coming. And it's just a way of kind of integrating your personal social media experience with the show. And it was actually a program created by Presto Match, which was started by the CTO, the former CTO of LinkedIn. And so Infocom is one of the first shows to use this. And we're really going to be looking. We did a trial run during GovCom and liked it enough that we wanted to give it a wider try with the Infocom show, with the flagship show.
Right. So that's really cool. I'm sorry, just to back up a little bit. How would somebody access that? I'm sorry if I missed that initially.
It's on the Infocom show website. There's a tab at the top called Infocom Connect, and all the information is right there. And it's super simple. And it really feels like almost like LinkedIn. So if you're used to that type of interface, it should be really simple to use.
Oh, very nice. And I keep interrupting you. Now, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Yeah. So I think you were talking about a LinkedIn group right after then.
Yeah, we have a LinkedIn group for Infocom itself. And it's a great place to talk about the show. In addition, Infocom, of course, has partnered with Rave Publications. And Rave now will be at the show in full force, both in video form as well as through its LinkedIn show group and many other activities that they're doing. I know podcasting. So we're looking forward to seeing the whole Rave team there. And I know our exhibitors are looking forward to having their videos done. In fact, just today I heard from an attendee from a very large integrator who asked me if Rave was going to be back because they are not going to send their own video crew to videotape products. They're just going to rely on that. And then use social media sharing buttons to share the videos with the people who need to see them. So that's a bit of what we have going on pre-show leading up to the show. Now, at the show is a completely different situation. We kind of put things on its head. The Infocom show site, the homepage, will become a number of different social media feeds. So people at the show or people who unfortunately got left behind can follow the show right from the Infocom show homepage. We'll have feeds of our Twitter. We'll have links to those Rave videos. We'll have Infocom show news coming from the different exhibitor press releases, all in feeds on that page. It's also, we'll have our Flickr photos. So that's a really great place to kind of see what's going on. And my understanding at the show this year, we're going to have two presentation stages on the show floor, one at the dynamic signage application showcase adjacent to that in the digital signage pavilion, and another one in the collaborative conferencing pavilion. And both of those will feature different presentations, free education. That will also be streamed, and we will provide that on our YouTube channel. And that's what we're kind of hoping, you know, to kind of provide throughout the show, just little tastes of the show. So obviously, most of the industry is able to attend, but for those who can't, or for those who are busy in different sessions or taking their CTS exams, this is a way to kind of keep up with everything going on site.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I mean, you guys are hitting it from every angle, and that I think that's just so cool. Because I one of the most valuable things, while obviously if you're at the show, you can still experience this stuff, but it's a little bit different. You know, there are just situations where people can't make it to the show, and I'd actually like to talk to maybe Dawn and Matt about this. Looking at, you know, all the resources and all the different social media platforms that Infocom's investing in for this show, as an integrator or, you know, working for an integration company, you know, how valuable is that to be able to look or, you know, at a single source for all these different resources in pretty much any kind of platform that you would like it? Matt, I mean, is that something you do? Do you look at other trade shows that you can't attend? Is that something that's pretty common?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's something that I always enjoy being able to see and kind of feel like I'm a part of some of the shows that I'm not able to attend. And, you know, obviously the more media that I can consume, the better, because I can, you know, just as you said, learn more about what was debuted, see it firsthand, or not firsthand, but firsthand via video, and stuff like that. And to be honest, even for the shows that I do attend and that we go to, it's always nice to have that, you know, thing, because no matter how big or small the show, there's always stuff that you miss seeing, or you don't get to that booth, or you get there and it's full of people and, you know, you don't want to wait around.
So being able to, you know, pop on, you know, some of Rave's videos or any of the other coverage that's out there is just phenomenal.
And is that your experience as well, Dawn?
Absolutely. I think, you know, social media is invaluable for the people that are attending trade shows, particularly those of us from small integration companies, usually maybe send one person or two people. The show is just so massive. There's no way you can take classes and meet with, you know, vendors and distributors and see everything there is to see. I know I rely heavily on both Infocom and, you know, the net at large's social presences at the shows, Rave, you know, Commercial Integrator, just, you know, all the different magazines in our industry. All of them have a presence at these sorts of shows, and I absolutely use all of them as a resource. And for the people that can't go to the show, it's a way to take part in the show. I know the videos Rave does of different products from the show floor, a lot of, you know, like my husband and his co-engineer friends at some of the other integrators, they love watching those because if they can't get there to physically hands on a product, it gives them that opportunity to do it so virtually until their rep or whoever can bring in a demo for them. So, I mean, I can't imagine doing a show like that without it.
And I think one of the coolest things, you know, me just kind of the marketing PR person is, so if you go to, you know, a site like what Infocom and Betsy and her team are doing here, because you can see all the different platforms kind of happening at the same time and different types of content coming in, you can really quickly get the vibe of the show, if that makes sense. Because you'll see while, you know, in some cases it may be some company just puts all their resources into Twitter, or maybe they just put all their resources into Facebook. So if they do like a product launch, it's really kind of just going to be exclusively on that network. But because you see that they're playing a little bit in every platform, if there is some product at the show that's really turning heads, it'll kind of make its way onto all those platforms, and you'd really be able to kind of monitor what are the big news stories coming out of the show. And I really think that's a cool idea. So Betsy, so how can people, let's say Twitter, for example, let's say they really want to follow what's happening at the show. I mean, you know, a common way of doing that is through a hashtag. And for those listening that don't know what a hashtag is on Twitter, it's a way of grouping conversations together. Infocom last year, actually, it was almost a polarizing trade show in that people were divided over which hashtag they wanted to use.
Hashtag debate rears its ugly head.
So, and in Infocom's defense, it's not an issue unique to Infocom there. Most of the people, a lot of events kind of have that. Betsy, I mean, is that something you guys will be doing? I guess what I'm asking you point blankly, is there an official hashtag this year for the show?
Yes, there is. The official hashtag is #Infocom12.
No.
There are actually reasons for this, and how we pick our hashtag really gets researched. Last year we had a little bit of debate whether or not we should go with a short hashtag or not, and we got a lot of requests from people who are kind of newer to social media saying that they were having problems tweeting because to type out like #Infocom show or #Infocom in numbers, there was a lot of confusion, and so we shortened it. However, this year there's a camera that's been released on the market that's #IC, that uses #IC12, and so we could not use it. And that's our general policy, is we look into what people are talking about, what people are requesting, but in the end of the day, our biggest concern is having something that's unique and registered to Infocom. Not that you can prevent people from reusing your hashtag, other industries, other events, but we do register our hashtags, and Infocom has about 40 of them, not just for the show, but throughout the year. We do a lot of events, roundtables and Power of AV for education and meeting planners, and all of them have their own distinct hashtag. So this year, I think the reason why this kind of came up as an issue last year is for the first time we actually printed our hashtag on our materials. And that's kind of our way of trying to let people know where you can find us and kind of be more official. It's not meant to exclude anyone at all. And in fact, we will have Twitter boards at the show this year, just as we did last year. Last year we had one big one, but this year actually we're going to have about five. And I'm actually really pleased about that. It will have the hashtag on the bottom, but we actually use a feed that combines many of the most commonly used hashtags that people use, because the goal isn't to exclude people, and it's hard. Look, Infocom is like one big city of people, of like 33,000 to 35,000 plus, and you can't get everybody to do the same thing at the same time. It's just impossible. We would love people to join us on Pound Infocom 12. But if you do Pound Infocom or IC12, we're going to try to include you in our feed too.
Playing the devil's advocate, Betsy, we couldn't use ICIA 12.
Well, actually, it's nice that you mentioned ICIA. Infocom's official name hasn't been ICIA in a few years, so we really couldn't. But
it's just so
long. We're certainly yes, it is. Basically, what I recommend is that people type it out once and keep it in their clipboard, and then they can paste it in more easily. What we really want people to do is tweet on the show floor. We had so many tweets last year. Our Twitter ratio, I think, was up 75% year over year between 2011 and 2010. And the number of people in the AV industry who tweet has only gone up. So we're hoping to see everybody on the Twitter board and throughout the show, near the show entrance, in the education area, and some the Infocom booth and some of the other areas that will be.
So I have a general question for the panel, as it were. How I often use Twitter at these shows are twofold. One, to announce. Two, to find stuff, right? More so, though, I'm looking for what other manufacturers are doing or those special announcements. And I found actually that going to that board actually gave me a better chance of finding it than on my mobile device. And I'm thinking that with other guys to say, when you're a manufacturer on the show floor, it might be a good recommendation to say, go find the Twitter board and see what's going on. Because I found that when I did it on my mobile device, the stuff flew by so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cutting through that chatter, I mean, you have two options, right? You have keep repeating it or try to get others to sort of take on the mantle of retweeting it for you, which I think is the best effective method there. I'll ask Dawn, you've had experience doing this.
Well, I mean, obviously you want people to pick up your tweets and retweet them and, you know, kind of go viral that way. That's the ideal situation. But until that happens, yeah, looking at the big board does help over the, you know, inch and a half, 2-inch little tiny screen we carry around with us. There's no magic bullet how to go viral, though. You know, you just gotta hope for that right person to see it at the right time and get it out there. I don't know. I wish I could just say this is how you do it.
Well, I think one thing that we found that was helpful for us is to, you know, the Infocom hashtag, a great space. But within AV, obviously, are several vertical markets, and all of those will be, you know, will have an appearance at the show. So if you have the room, I know room is tight. If you have the room, I would say don't be afraid to use other hashtags. Like if there is something that is HOW-based, House of Worship-based or EdTech-based or something like that, that's another great way to sort of cut out the clutter. If you have a search saved for a certain hashtag and for Infocom, then that's another great way, if people are using it, again, to see what's going on in whatever area of AV that you're particularly interested in at that moment.
That's an apt suggestion. I agree. If only we had a way to shorten them too, though, I wonder. Mr. Moody, I'll hand it over to you.
I was going to say, to be honest, though, that's why, I mean, while we've been recording this podcast, I sent out a tweet about this podcast. And I'm sorry, Betsy, I used IC12. But it was mainly because I was out of room. I hate the fact that I know they have, you know, shorteners now and you can go over your 140 characters and it makes it a link and all that, but those just annoy me. So I try to stay pithy.
Right.
So sometimes you just got to go with the shortest hash or just one hash when you really could hash it AV tweeps and you know, House of Worship or whatever other hashes you want to add. Sometimes you just got to go for the short, you know.
Yeah, I think to Dawn's point on all those, actually, is I don't like services that make Twitter posts longer than 140 characters because I think it's annoying, quite frankly, as Dawn mentioned. So
it also doesn't
I wouldn't recommend
well.
That. But
it also doesn't work
is it really worth? Is it really worth going over to that next page for the last three words?
Yeah. Yeah. Thing is the whole point of Twitter and, you know, the programs and the apps that use Twitter is that you can see a lot of information really quickly. As soon as you got that's the one thing I hate about when people put Instagram photos out through Twitter, because it's like instantly another two clicks that I have to go through just to see the photo that I thought was cool and usually turns out to be stupid. So same thing with the, you know, but Deckly and all those other lengthener links.
Easy for me to say.
Exactly. It's just always it's another step, and it's most times I won't do it just because I don't care that much.
Well, it's a little off topic, but is that because we are seeing more people use things like TweetDeck on their desktops, and that's become sort of the de facto Facebook replacement or adjunct? Or because I'm more often on my desktop with TweetDeck now than with my mobile. Maybe that's not true for everyone else.
I would agree with you. Yeah. But it's just one of those things like, and then again, it might be personal preference, but I just feel like I'm not in a minority when I say it's annoying. Just because a service will let you do something doesn't mean you should do it. And I think that transcends into everything in social media.
Yeah. And when you're at Infocom and then there are tons of people, you know, using whatever network you're on, even if you're using your 3G, I mean, it slows down a lot, and nothing would make me sadder than to have to wait 5 minutes for a page to load so that I could see somebody's, you know, crappy Instagram picture, like you said, or to see the last, you know, lols hashtag ... whatever they wanted to include when it really wasn't worth it. So I agree with you all on that front, but I do think that there are strategic ways to still get all that information out there, especially if you are directing people to other content. I would be much less annoyed about, you know, over hashtagging and a quippy headline about whatever content is about if I'm actually going to real worthwhile content that is much more in depth than what I would get from a 140 character tweet.
Well, again, it's that whole thing. Content is key, is king. If as long as the content's good, it doesn't matter that much. It's just making sure that if you're going to use a lengthener or something like that, that you're tweeting something that's good. There's nothing worse than, you know, especially from a show, someone saying, check out this brand new, you know, Crestron or whoever, this new control piece, and you got to click through to an Instagram to see it. And you click through just to find out that they don't know how to use Instagram and the whole piece is in the dark. And it's this lovely shot of his finger and, you know, two lights. And you go, oh, that's kind of cool, sort of, maybe. No. Yeah.
So, well, I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to AV Social. Today we're talking Infocom and all the great ways you can use social media for Infocom. We've got Betsy Jaffe from Infocom, Matt Scott from Omega Audio Video, Dawn Mead from Net AV, and NC Nwako from Rave Pubs. Oh, and Mr. George Tucker as well. So one thing I think that is just amazing about trade shows and social media, and you know, we see this a lot with our clients, is I feel like there's so many opportunities, especially from an exhibitor's side, and that's how I'm going to speak right now, to create content. I mean, you have awesome branding for your company everywhere, you know, in your booth. You have your products there in one place. A lot of them are actually demo capable, and you also have customers there. So whether it be pictures of your booth or pictures of your products, or, you know, if you have the resources to have somebody blogging, you know, during the show, you know, posting Facebook updates or even video content. I think that's where a lot of companies could really utilize their trade show booths, is creating video content. And NC, you guys at Rave do an amazing job of pumping out thousands, literally, of videos at every one of these trade shows. And essentially what you guys do is just, you know, you go around to each booth and you know, produce a short video. Can you explain to our listeners what your process is and why you use the format that you do?
Well, our goal is to we think about it two ways. One, there are people at the show that are going to be seeing literally hundreds of products within a given range of time on the show floor. They want to be able to reference what they saw. And, you know, not everybody gets a chance to go to InfoCom. A lot of times it'll only be, you know, sometimes only just one or two people from a company that gets to go. But there'll be a product that is so sort of, that is so revolutionary to them, or that it's such an elegant solution to whatever thing that they might be working with, that it's helpful to be able to quickly send that information in little snippets. So the goal really is to say, hey, okay, so we get that you are going to be bombarded with tons of information. What's a way that we can give you sort of a reference library of everything that's been showcased on the floor, even if it's from, you know, a little handy cam, just so that you can have something to reference and look back on, because, you know, we're not supercomputers. We can't remember everything that we've seen. So that's really our goal. And one of the ways that we do that is we have sort of refined the quick handy cam process of going from manufacturer to manufacturer, and whether it's getting appointments beforehand or literally bombarding people, as some of you have experienced during the show floor, and getting you to give us product pitches on your newest products. We then have a team of people that are dedicated to watching those videos, giving them appropriate headlines, getting them up on both YouTube and our InfoCom portal as quickly as possible. And the goal is to, you know, as soon as those products are made available to people on the show floor, they can also be made available to not only people that are at the show floor and want to reference what they saw, but people that couldn't be there and want to reference it too.
And, so, and I think one of the things that has made your guys' video and coverage of these shows so popular is that you keep them short. I mean, I've been there when you tell exhibitors, hey, you know, keep this under 2 minutes. Is there a reason why you do that?
Yeah, definitely. We do that on purpose because we know that everybody pretty much has ADHD these days and they don't want to sit through a 5 to 10 minute video. I mean, it sounds lofty and the manufacturers think it's lofty, but of course my products are so awesome that you would want to sit down all right. The whole day and, you know, watch me talk about all of them. But we know that people, especially in this day and age, like to get information in quick, simple snippets. So our general rule is one product or product series per video and in 1 to 2 minutes, because realistically, when you are going from booth to booth and you're looking at different products, unless there's a very specific product that you were coming for, or unless you set up a meeting with some of the representatives in the booth, you really only want, for the most part, a 1 to 2 minute spiel on what the product's about, so you can determine whether or not you're interested in it or not. And what we found is that people who get access to those videos, even if they haven't, you know, been to that booth before, people that get access to those videos can then make better informed decisions about where they want to visit later on in the show, because it's just a great way to sort of see way more of the show than you actually could physically. And we recognize that and try to, you know, give them the opportunity to get that content.
I have a question about that. I was going to ask that as you dropped off the first time there. First of all, yes, sure. You're right. Any video over 2 minutes, if it doesn't have explosions in it, I'm not watching. So, the second one, though, is two.
Or, you know, kittens.
Kittens. Yeah. Kittens. No, wait. I'm not going to go there. Never mind. a question about what you tweet when, and this might go to Betsy as well. And I'll start with you and see, do we have an idea? Do you have a plan of like you? I would like to tweet longer form stuff in the morning and at the end of the show. And then in the middle, basically have a conversation and maybe direct people and maybe put a little bit of information out. But I don't really filter it or clutter it with those long links or even the shortened links during the middle of the day when everything is just streaming out of the Wahoo.
Sure. We have a sort of system. When we tweet out video links and things like that, we use strategic wording every time. So if you see, and by the way, we never use any of those tweet extenders or anything like that. If you can't put it in the 140 characters, our opinion is you should either have a link directing somebody to more information or you should maybe think about rewriting that tweet. But we always use strategic wording. So if we are talking about a video, we always tweet live at Infocom video or something like that with the headline, and we mention the manufacturer so that we can make sure people can get in touch with them if they're on Twitter. And so you'll see a very specific format to what we do. Now, some of our reporters are also covering press events and having meetings, like more extensive meetings that aren't video-based with different manufacturers or different seminars that are happening during the show. Those have also different hashtags or different wording. And we like to have a constant flow of video information going out throughout the whole day if possible. And then interspersed are conversations or our blogs or our whatever else we're covering. But the key to that content and the key to letting people understand what's going on with that content are strategic hashtagging, specific headlines, and very clear formatting so that people know what they're going to get when they get, so they can sort of, you know, on their own be able to cut through the hundreds of tweets that we send out. So that's pretty much our method.
I think that's an awesome approach. And Betsy, I mean, from the show standpoint, and I guess this would also work for exhibitors as well, I mean, is that your similar approach, is just kind of understanding, I guess it's understanding your audience, if nothing else?
Yes. One of our biggest challenges is a lot of our tweets at the show are directional in nature, letting people know that something's about to begin, letting people know about room changes and other last minute adjustments. And the convention center is really big. And so you have to tweet far enough in advance that people will still have time to migrate to the area of the convention center or the Las Vegas hotel or any of the other places that our many events are during the show. So that's actually one of our challenges. And we actually set our schedule fairly well in advance. We really go over it. We check it against our schedule at a glance, against the show brochure, make sure that anything that isn't being done live on the spot, things that we can plan out, are done so in advance so that we can be much more nimble on site to deal with emergencies and last minute things that come up, you know, as they happen.
So we've kind of talked about, you know, where people can find, you know, content and discussions happening at the show and kind of best practices. But I'd love to kind of bounce it around between everybody and ask, how do you personally actually keep up with these things? I know George talked about visiting the video wall, but he alluded to a great point there that sometimes it can be difficult to keep up with all this on your phone. Do you guys have any specific apps or advice that you would give attendees and exhibitors to the show? And we'll start with you, Matt. I mean, when you're actually at the show, what is your approach to following the discussion online?
The main key that I try to do is that one, I definitely never use the Twitter actual website. And to be honest, I try not to use the actual Twitter app. Day to day, it's fine. But once you start having a lot of lists, and, you know, searches, it can become very cumbersome. So I usually try to use either Hootsuite or TweetDeck, and I literally set up a couple of searches, just literally or columns that literally focus on what I want to focus. So I always have Infocom show as, you know, one specific one, not the hashtag, but the actual Infocom account. And then again, I usually have an IC12 or an IC or Infocom 12. Sorry, Betsy. and then of course I always have our AV tweeps list up, and I kind of use those three main things to really kind of help me navigate around, because just as Betsy said, because they tweet so much, show-specific stuff, announcement-specific stuff, I find that I miss a lot of that stuff if all I'm following is the IC12 or the Infocom 12 hashtag. Because, again, there's so much stuff. Gosh, I'm out there usually tweeting every single thing I see that's cool. I'm like, hey, check this out. It's awesome. And, you know, so I'm a big offender in that sense of just when you're at the show, it's really, really hard to keep up. And again, that's just what's worked for me. And I got to say,
let me ask you this while you say that. Is there anything specific, let's say you as an integrator, you're going to Infocom. Now, obviously, I don't want you to diverge or divulge, I should say, your business there. But like, what are you looking for at the show? Are you looking for like the next great product? Are you looking at specific brands? Are you just kind of looking for the buzz? Like, what's the big thing at the show?
I kind of hit most of those points altogether. The big thing for me is that, you know, I come from a very heavy commercial and pro AV background, but our company currently is not insanely heavy in those markets. So we're continually trying to grow that aspect of our market. And again, that's where the show has been extremely helpful for me, because I love being able to be hands-on and see a lot of these products, or more importantly, with some of them, hear them firsthand. And, you know, that's a huge thing for me. The other thing that I absolutely love the shows for, and this is something that makes me a gigantic proponent of trade shows and live. I have nothing against virtual trade shows, but they're just not the same. One of the biggest things that I swear about with live trade shows is that we get to meet face-to-face. So everyone I'm on this call with the exception, I don't think I've met you, Betsy, in person. I don't believe so.
Right.
And I apologize for that. We'll make up for that. But
exactly.
everybody else I've now met in person. And in the industry, I found it's been incredibly beneficial to have developed some good friendships with different people all across, you know, North America and beyond. And to be honest, I don't know how I would have done that had I not been at the shows, and more importantly, at the shows using social media. Because I've gone to shows for years, but last Infocom was kind of the first main one I went to where I was heavily involved in social media and connecting with people via social media. And that can be such a, again, whether it's a company rep or a product rep or just another integrator or a marketing guy like yourself, Scott,
right.
Without that combination of the live in-person show and social media, I don't know how much I would have been able to connect with any of you, let alone become friends. And that's really helped our business. Just because, again, you know, if I've got a quick question about marketing or something, you know, I'm able to shoot Scott a quick message and say, hey, just am I on? Does this make sense? And, you know, usually he's friendly. Sometimes he bills me for it, but, you know, whatever. but again, that's kind of my biggest thing that I go to the shows for, is not only hands on with product, which is very important. Because
and
no matter what
I think those are amazing points. And I even from, like, I think that's what I would encourage actual exhibitors at the show to be doing as well. You know, one thing that we preach on these podcasts is engagement, have a voice with your brand, blah, blah, blah. Well, now's the opportunity to put that into action. I mean, you spent all this time and resources in building these networks and these followings. Start reaching out to these folks one-on-one and saying, hey, you know, we know you're going to Infocom, you know, stop by the booth and let's meet in person. You know, I kind of joked about this at the beginning, meeting George in real life, but just as Matt pointed out there, now's the time, like, this is where that happens. And, you know, it's just a fabulous opportunity. Dawn, you know, kind of the same question, you know, really kind of twofold here. You know, what tools do you use at the show and why do you use them?
Well, this is actually going to be an exciting year in trying new things for me. Last year was the first time that I had the specific smartphone I have, and I was still learning it, and I just used the plain old Twitter app on the phone, and it was a bit overwhelming, like everybody said. On my desktop, I use TweetDeck, like a lot of other people do, and I have the searches and columns set up, and that's how I organize my life in the big screen sort of world. But you know, when we're walking around the trade show floor, we don't really have that option. I have since last Infocom gotten a new tablet. No, I'm not an iPad person. I just got a Kindle Fire, but it's a great little machine. I'm probably going to carry that with me with a TweetDeck type app, if not TweetDeck itself, on it to do sorting. Also, I use my phone and just any app really to tweet out. And when you're talking about on the show floor, Twitter is the platform that you're going to be talking about for the most part, because it's the most instant, the most right now, the most
it's more conversational than the other things. I mean, it just lends itself to conversation. You know,
yeah, I'm not going to write a blog in the middle of the trade show floor, nor am I going to, you know, we don't use Facebook as much for the business. I might put a few pictures on Facebook that I snap on the show floor, but, you know, and LinkedIn and blogs and all that stuff comes in at the hotel room that night or on the plane on the way home or whatever. So, you know, that's why we're talking so much about Twitter. But I'm going to be trying out a combination of the new tablet computer and the phone with something like TweetDeck or that allows you to sort by column and search to help keep track of those hashtags and keep up a little bit more. And of course, walk by the big boards, A, to see what else is going on that you might have missed on your feed, but B, to say, hey, look, I'm on the big board, which is always exciting.
Yes, I always make it a point to get at least one picture of that. Hey, the tweet board.
I'm glad I'm not the only geek who does that. Thank you.
Oh, I waited there one day for too long to do that. Where is it? Oh, there it is. So one of the things that I was building on with what Matt said and what you were saying, Dawn, is that using TweetDeck, especially as a manufacturer, you can watch so much stuff going on, and that's where your engagement will happen. Using that as the PC or the iPod laid out to watch what everyone's talking about, that's where you can sort of build your conversation and get people to start talking about you and come to where you are. Hey, you were talking about this. I saw you mention that. Check out this. It really does work as a positive sense of engagement.
Absolutely. And the reality is, you know, I mean, we're here doing a show about social media, and we're all about social media. I mean, I know I am. But social media isn't the show. The show is the interactions. The show is the face-to-face meeting people. The show is the relationships that are going to build your business based on the social media tools that you use to do so. And I know I've had a lot of great interactions with these folks on the podcast and other folks in the industry that I quote-unquote met online and then got to meet in person at Infocom in Orlando or 2 years ago in Vegas or even at an NSCA event. And it's like, oh, you're the guy from Twitter. Oh, great to finally meet you. And you feel like you're an old friend even after only a couple minutes. So that's what it's all about. It's not just the technology. It's not just the platform or the tool. It's the relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing how much you can, I mean, like I'm going to throw a curveball here a little, and we've all talked about, you know, Twitter and how it's an amazing tool, you know, depending of course on which client you use to interface with Twitter. But I'm going to pull the creeper card here and say that one of the things that I love the most to do is to like be where there are hives of people or listen to that rando, like I eavesdrop a lot and listen in on what people are saying. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, that interaction, that social interaction is more than just via social media. Like I might hear a tip from somebody like, oh man, this really small booth has this really awesome product that I would never have, if I didn't, you know, stop to tie my shoes and accidentally see it, I would have never. And then I'm there like, ooh, I'll text Sarah or I'll text Gary. Maybe someone is close by and we can see what that's all about. Like, I love that stuff. I live for that stuff. And that's another element, that human element that's still very social. And sometimes it helps to like literally connect with the people that you are there with at the show to discover new things. So beyond Twitter and beyond all these other social media tools, they're still just the idea that serendipitous events happen where you discover these things. And because you have technology, you can access coworkers or you can access friends that can look into some of these things for you too. So I wouldn't underestimate the power of a human to human interaction either.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry?
NC had the most engaging topic we've ever talked about because we all chimed in at once. So go ahead.
I was just going to say I actually used it in that regard last Infocom. I was on Twitter and someone that I know and respect tweeted about some awesome piece of swag that a booth in the back that nobody actually knew about had. And it was like, ooh, got to get over to that row to get this, you know, t-shirt or swag or whatever the thing was before they run out, you know. Lame, but exactly. It's what it's about.
And Matt, did you have something?
No, I was just going to say that I'm going to be more careful what I say when NC's around. She's eavesdropping like crazy.
I know.
Well, it's funny because she prefaced it by saying she was going to be the creeper role, but I was like,
I know.
Well, you're pressed, so it's allowed whenever she does it. But actually, that brings up a good point that she mentioned is that I think for exhibitors, social media also gives you the opportunity to get in front of press by creating buzz at the show. You know, if you're going to have a special event at your show, I'm sorry, at your booth. Let's say at like, you know, Thursday afternoon at 3:00, well, make sure somebody from your team takes a picture of it, you know, post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook to kind of get it in the stream. I mean, you know, Betsy mentioned that sometimes it can take a while for people to get across the convention center to you, but sometimes they might be in the local area. They might see it. They might come rushing over. So, you know, Betsy, can you maybe talk about what exhibitors can do to really kind of maximize, you know, get involved in everything that you guys are doing?
Sure. Well,
I apologize.
Well, in terms of what we have planned with social media at the show, the main thing is when you have something interesting to say as an exhibitor, don't be afraid to put it out there on Twitter. Or to take a picture and put it on Flickr. There is a hunger among the people at the show to kind of get that social media view of the show in addition to the in-person. Second of all, the relationships that have been mentioned previously, they're really important. And a lot of times attendees, for better or for worse, they're going to tweet opinions about products that they see on the show floor or the way that they were treated at a booth, etc. So you really need to make sure that you're monitoring for comments and also reaching out to people in other ways beyond just social media. Yeah, if you hear of an issue or a problem or a concern through social media. A lot of social media for corporations or exhibitors or even for Infocom itself is actually listening and not talking. And we should all be very mindful at the show and beyond, not just at the show. This is a year-round thing. If you want to hear what our customers are saying, take time to read it. You don't have to respond to everything, but it's interesting to see when people are talking about, hey, I'm, you know, getting my certification at the show, or, I had a problem at this booth, or they're saying this product is new, but I saw it already somewhere else. You should be paying attention to that.
And I think it's actually an opportunity. I mean, you know, let's be real here. We're all in business. So what, a conversation about the show and social media also allows you to do is keep an eye on your competitors. I mean, you can see what they're saying. You can see what people are saying about them. And I mean, if you're smart enough, there are ways to utilize that information as well. So, you know, it goes beyond doing the last day of the trade show, kind of walk by your competitor's booth thing. I mean, you can see it in real time. So, around every show, there's typically some kind of event. You know, lots of times it's called a tweet up, where, you know, a lot of people involved in the community will kind of get together. I have to be honest, I haven't heard of any happening at this show. Has anybody heard of any parties or anything like that where maybe people can go and meet some of these people in real life that they've been chatting with? Has anybody heard of anything out there?
I think I've heard.
I've got one.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I believe it's Women in AV is having a tweet up. Yeah, their tweet up, as far as I, if my memory serves correctly, is in collaboration with the NSCA party. And yeah, I'm pulling up my calendar right now to see which day that is. but it's
Thursday night.
Thursday, June 14th from 9 to 11. Wave, Rave, and NSCA are having a reception at Gilly's, which is the bar at Treasure Island, the club at Treasure Island. And it's they usually, you know, NSCA always has a great reception. They always have the Drunk Uncles play. And the thing is a fundraiser for their scholarship foundation, which I was fortunate to receive a scholarship for in my graduate studies. So it's a great cause, but Wave is putting their tweet up in collaboration with that this year, so we can get just like a critical mass of women in AV and NSCA people and just anybody that wants to come.
Awesome, awesome. I believe
that a lot of the tweet ups start to get announced like at the end of May, just a couple of weeks beforehand. People start to chatter about that kind of stuff. But it is always good one to look out for because it's a great thing to do. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's like networking on steroids, quite frankly. So
another thing that we need
another
to,
place,
go ahead, Betsy.
I was just going to say another great place to get together is really at the Infocom opening night reception, which happens on Tuesday night before the show gets started. It will be at the Las Vegas Hotel, and that will be a really great place if you want to do like a mini tweet up. You get together with some of the people who you already know are going to be at the show or people that you correspond with on social media and meet up in an established locale. That is always kind of a good big event, but it can be more comfortable if you're with people that you actually know. So that's just something to keep in mind. And that's right after, as soon as the keynote is over, Tony Ricotta from Cirque du Soleil is going to be speaking from 4 to 5:30. Immediately after, you go right into the reception. So that's just another idea of some place to meet up in addition to the traditional parties, etc.
Right. And just so everybody knows, during Infocom, I believe it is on Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday around 2 to 3, we're going to be doing a somewhat live broadcast of AV Social from the floor. So we'll be talking about some of this stuff, trying to track a lot of guys down. But if you're wandering through between the halls, which where we will be with Rave, you come by and talk to us about what's going on with Social there as well.
And if you happen to see George and the gang there and take a picture and post it on social media, then you get 3 gold stars. So
what do you wait for that?
Maybe I should shave so no one can recognize me. Okay, well, I think we've done some good digging here and really good information for people going to Infocom. We also have a comment board on the page where the show is posted. So if you guys have information and or recommendations, we'd love to see them and advance them to all of our people. This has been the AV Social Show for AV Nation. I want to thank everyone for coming on. Scott, you're going to have to do that honors of who's everybody because I don't have my list in front of me.
All right. Well, you're George Tucker. And
that's me.
George can be found on Twitter at Tucker2s. That's TUCKERTUES. We also have Betsy Jaffe from Infocom. I know Infocom can be found on Twitter at Infocom and at Infocom Show. That's correct, Betsy, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And do you have a personal account you want to plug? Because we'll be more than happy to do
I
that.
I do. It's at AVPRFLAC. And
okay.
You can also follow information about the show on our new app. And you can get information on that on the infocomshow.org website.
All right. Awesome. And then we have Dawn Mead from NetAV. And Dawn can be found at AVDawn. We also had NC Nwako from Rave Pubs. Everybody should know how to get to Rave Pubs by now. But NC can be found on Twitter at NC_NWOKO. And then we have Matt Scott from Omega Audio Video. And Matt can be found at Omega Audio Video. Did I say .com before? NC?
Probably.
I'm sorry. It's just at Omega Audio Video. So that was our show for today. We certainly thank all you guys for joining us, and we're looking forward to seeing the conversations on social media. And if you're on Twitter, it'll be at the hashtag Infocom12. So thanks, everyone.